Doctor's Kitchen. Recipes, health, lifestyle. Welcome to Doctor's Kitchen Snack Size. Snack size snippets from the main podcast, all about food, medicine, lifestyle, and how to improve your health today. Today's snack size is all about preventing heart disease using medications versus stents. Now, on the full episode, we talk all about the impact of diet, meditation, and other lifestyle measures. But in this snippet on episode 30, where I speak with consultant Dr. Zarin Sheikh, it illustrates the point that it's not always the most aggressive procedures like stenting that yield the best outcomes. Sometimes medications can be just, if not more, effective, and lifestyle medicine should also be part of that care package. I highly recommend you listen to this episode 30 for the full discussion, as well as my solo episode on 202 about dietary changes to lower your cholesterol. Before we get started, here is a quick word from the people who make this podcast possible.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What I find quite interesting is that even today in conventional cardiology, for want of a better term, I can't really think of something to separate what we mean by lifestyle and how we treat people with just drugs, essentially. But there are more and more investigations and more research trials geared towards pharmaceutical options as a preventative cardiology in itself. So, you know, PCSK9 inhibitors, better and better statin medications, drugs. We really need to reframe what we mean by preventative cardiology, I think, in this country and beyond, because as you said, a typical patient journey is just that. You see a cardiologist or a GP, you put in some drugs, you let them go on their merry way for a few months, and then you come back, you realize that they're at the next step of the treatment algorithm, and we don't even get a chance to talk about that diet and lifestyle stuff because we haven't really had that in our mind. So that's something I think we need to probably reframe our vernacular around quite early. So when you think about preventative cardiology, and we'll talk about the Fresh Heart Project in a second, what do you think of from a pharmaceutical point of view, from an interventional point of view, and from a lifestyle point of view?
Yeah, so I think that we have to take an approach which uses all of those, because we've made so much progress with pharmaceuticals, actually. So I'm definitely not against pharmaceuticals in primary prevention.
And I think that's a really good point, because a lot of people think of statins in particular as the devil, or you know, no one should be on a statin, which I think is very it's quite a dangerous play to make, because I'm not just talking about the people with familial hypercholesterolemia who have a genetic condition that renders them more likely to have higher levels of these lipoproteins in their blood. They genuinely are fantastic clinical tools to use alongside all the other tools
Absolutely.
We have in our toolbox.
And that is exactly it. It's like having a toolbox, and part of your toolkit is medication. Part of your toolkit is, you know, intervention if necessary. in certain cases.
Yeah.
But not always.
Yeah, we could talk about the courage trial.
We could talk about the courage trial. And then part of it is lifestyle. And should we talk about the courage trial?
Yeah,
first?
Why don't we talk about that? Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, the courage trial was very interesting actually. So I think, was it 2007? 2007, it was quite a long time ago. And they looked at lots of patients. So about 2,300 patients. And they randomised them, so either to, and these were patients with documented coronary artery disease, and they had to have ischemic symptoms. So what we mean by that is that there are three main blood vessels that supply the muscle of the heart, and in those blood vessels there are significant narrowing, which when tested are significant. Okay, so these are patients with coronary artery disease. That is significant. There are a couple of exceptions. So one is if they'd had, I think, bypass grafts, and one is if they had very, very severe, very proximal, very high up disease in the left main, which is excluded. And that is something that supplies a massive territory and should be treated interventionally. Very uncommon. Mm-hmm. So the majority of patients with stable angina and coronary artery disease, they randomise them either to intervention. So if you, and you know, it makes sense. If you've got a blockage in the artery of your heart, opening up that blockage just from a, you know, from an academic perspective makes sense. If you open up that blockage, you're supplying more blood to that bit of the muscle and you think, you know, that's going to be beneficial. So in half of the patients, they underwent intervention to open up the blockages. In the other half, they just gave them tablets. So they just gave them medications and said, right, we're going to test this. And they followed them up. And what they found was that actually the end point of major, you know, cardiovascular events and mortality was the same. So the outcomes were the same in both arms. So it didn't matter if the blood vessel was opened up, which really you'd think would help mortality, but it didn't. Tablets work just as well. What it might have done was help with anginal symptoms a little bit, but actually when you look at the tablet group, anginal symptoms were helped as well. Yeah. So really, intervention and stents in the majority of people with stable angina, and this is not a heart attack, not something where you go into, you know, hospital acutely with, works just, you know, tablets work just as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, it does not save lives, it may help symptoms. And that, there was an Orbiter trial as well very recently.
I don't know if you've come across that.
This was a group in London, Daryl Francis did. And he said, well, that's all very well, courage is very well, but people who are undergoing intervention, they have had a procedure, so is there a placebo effect?
Gotcha.
With that, we haven't really tested. So they did, they took a smaller group, but about just over 230 patients, and they randomized them to medication, optimal medical therapy, or stents in people who had a blockage in one of their blood vessels. And this was very interesting. They actually found, again, so the group that had just medication actually underwent a procedure. So they genuinely did not know if they had a stent or not, because they had a procedure. They had an angiogram where we look at the arteries of the heart, and they had a little pressure wire or a little wire put down that artery with the blockage. So they had, but they didn't have the stent. So they just had a sham procedure.
Right. Okay.
And then the other group did have the stent. Again, their exercise time was identical.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I mean, people all, genuinely I'm, did not know which I'm, group they were in.
Yeah, I mean, the first visceral reaction is like, how am I sticking that through ethics? First of all, like the sham procedure versus the...
It's a good point. And that was really raised at a lot of meetings. But it's a question. It's a genuine clinical question that we have.
Yeah.
And I can understand, because if you can demonstrate in the courage trial that medication versus intervention in stable patients, so not acute patients, stable patients, have similar outcomes, then it stands to reason you could potentially argue, well, if we try sham versus the intervention, then maybe we're not putting them at greater harm, as long as they're on medications as well, I'm assuming.
The question from the courage trial was that, you know, it helps with anginal symptoms. And the only way in which you can test that it helps with anginal symptoms is to do a randomized controlled trial where they genuinely don't know if they've had a stent or if they haven't had a stent. And, you know, it was, there are lots of criticisms, there weren't very many patients, it wasn't followed up for a very long time, but it's very interesting finding, so watch this space.
Yeah.
But intervention in people who are stable generally works just as well as tablets.
Yeah.
And it does not reduce death. It yeah. does not reduce events. And that is the message.
I hope you enjoyed today's Doctor's Kitchen Snack Size. Remember, you can find the full length episodes on the Doctor's Kitchen website at thedoctorskitchen.com. I'm Dr. Rupi. I will see you here next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.